This is Gabriel Wrench with your Cross-Politic Daily News Brief for Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. Happy birthday to my wife. Asymptomatic spread of coronavirus is very rare, according to the WHO. On Monday, June 8th, Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove, head of WHO's Emerging Diseases and Zoonosis Unit, said that at a news brief from the United Nations Agency's Geneva's headquarters, quote, "From the data we have, it still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual." She goes on to say, "It's very rare." But then, on Tuesday, June 9th, she dialed it back and said, during the live Q&A, she clarified, "This is a major unknown." She goes on to say, "The majority of transmissions that we know about, people who have symptoms transmit the virus to other people through infectious droplets. But there are a subset of people who don't develop symptoms. And to truly understand how many people don't have symptoms, we don't actually have that answer yet." She goes on to say, she continues and says, "We do know that some people who are asymptomatic or some people who don't have symptoms can transmit the virus on," she said. "So what we need to better understand is how many people in the population don't have symptoms, and separately, how many of those individuals go on to transmit to others." Okay, so do we believe WHO on Monday, or do we believe WHO on Tuesday? Who do we believe? And what day do we believe these people? This is really getting embarrassing in the scientific community. Black business owners' ranks collapsed by 41% in the U.S. lockdowns. This is incredible. According to MSN, the COVID-19 economic shutdown has hurt African-American businesses the most among racial and ethnic groups in the U.S., with a 41% decline of black owners from February to April, a new study from the National Bureau of Economic Research shows. While the pandemic has hit entrepreneurs across the board, closing some 3.3 million small businesses, at least temporarily, the sidelining of 440,000 African Americans was especially severe. Black owners may have fared worse because fewer of them operated in industries deemed essential during the pandemic, among other factors, according to the NBER paper. Immigration businesses owners also fared poorly, with 36% drop during the period. The negative early stage impacts on minority and immigration-owned businesses, if prolonged, may be problematic for broader racial inequality because of the importance of the minority businesses for local job creation, economic advancement, and long-term wealth inequality, said the reporter's author Robert Fairley of the University of California at Santa Cruz. The findings add to other data showing that the pandemic has broadly hit African Americans harder than any other groups, with blacks suffering higher rates of mortality from the coronavirus and greater joblessness. While unemployment among the white Americans fell 12.4% last month, according to the data released Friday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the jobless rate for African Americans rose slightly to 16.8%. For those of us who have been saying the cure is worse than the COVID, we don't even fully know the extent of how bad this cure has been for our lives. There are a number of ripple effects that are going to come to the surface because the cure was far worse than the disease. I want to invite you guys to the Fight Laugh Feast Conference in Nashville, October 1st through the 3rd. Rowdy Christian Media meets the conference world. Not for the faint-hearted. We will kick the whole thing off with beer and psalm singing the first night, with refreshments for the children, followed by a slate of speakers committed to driving the nails of the gospel into everyday life, including Pastor Douglas Wilson, Pastor George Grant, Rod Martin, Glenn Sunshine, Pastor Toby, and more. The conference will conclude with a massive Fight, Laugh, Feast network mashup, which should be a lot of fun, fighting, laughing, and feasting all the way. And then we really will feast together with food trucks bringing in dinner to close out the conference. So please join us this October 1st through the 3rd as we build a rowdy Christian culture for God's glory and our good. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. Lastly here, the institutional racism canard. About twice as many white people as black people are killed by police, according to a National Review article. In fact, in about 75% of police shootings, the descendant is not black. Of course, that is not what you would grasp from the consuming media. Powerline's Paul Myrengoff fills in that blank. Blacks commit about 70% of black-white interracial homicides. For this, he draws on the FBI crime statistics for 2016. They show that 776 black-white homicides happen every year. Blacks committed 533 of those homicides, while whites committed 243 of those homicides. Neither of these numbers, by the way, nor their combined total, comes anywhere close to the number of blacks killed by blacks. A staggering 2,770 blacks killed blacks in 2016, the overwhelmingly majority male. Washington Post goes on to add this. Last year, in 2019, cops killed 17 unarmed blacks. And even the data needs explanation, meaning that some of those blacks, even though they weren't armed with guns, they might have had a knife or there was a physical altercation that happened before the cop shot the black. Whatever happened, only 17 blacks were shot last year by cops that were unarmed. Compare this to the reported 22 white men who were killed by the cops while unarmed. I got some commentary here on this. This, of course, the data that I just read off here is not to justify police brutality, but if we're going to talk about police brutality, racism, black-on-black crime, fatherlessness, all this stuff, then we need to get all the data, all the factors on the table. First, the message you are hearing is that Officer Chauvin is a racist and that is why he killed George Floyd. But where's the evidence for that? What does biblical justice require of this accusation or of the accusers in this case? It requires proof. You need proof that this police negligence was driven by racism. That would include providing evidence that the other ethnic cops present were also racist. Secondly, the corruption in the police force has been horrific in democratically run cities. Think Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, LA, Minneapolis, and so forth, which have been dominated by Democratic politicians for decades. Police corruption, while not neglecting individual responsibility at all in all of this, has been propped up by powerful unions, immunity from 1982 court case, and unjust applications of laws. Basically, one law for cops and another law for the citizens. So if we're really going to have an honest discussion about police brutality and racism, we need to get all the cards on the table and bring the light of God's word to bear on those facts. Statistically, a black person is more likely to be killed by another black person than by a cop. Exponentially more likely. The obvious connection here, we've talked about this regularly here on the show, is the black community has been devastated by fatherlessness and so forth. And police unions, on the other hand, they shield, protect, and even threaten in order to keep their cops on the street. These police unions are incentivized away from equitable justice, and so laws and systems have been created by the pressure of police unions to protect their cops over their citizens. Lastly, politicians who are joining the bandwagon calling to defund the police are feckless. For decades, they oversaw the expansion of the militarization of the police and loved every minute of it. And in addition to this, to call for the defunding of the police while they themselves have private security or some sort of government security like congressional police, Secret Service, etc., it's the same play that they want to run on your Second Amendment rights. You can't have guns, but we can. You can't have security, but we can. You can't have a police force, but we can. Our politicians are just like the militarization of the police force. They want one standard for you, while they themselves will not place themselves under that same standard. This is the same thing that happened under the COVID panic. You need to stay at home in shutdown mode while politicians were dining, golfing, traveling, and screwing their mistresses, all in the name of your safety. Jesus has harsh words for this kind of leadership in Matthew 20:25, but Jesus called unto his disciples and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." Our political leaders have failed us miserably, and this COVID panic and this Floyd panic we're seeing have been given to us by God, and to be thinking Christians means we need to see what God is showing us here. Just think about this for a moment. Our mayor here in Moscow, Idaho, on March 25th, and there's a number of examples I'm sure you could bring to the table here, but our mayor on March 25th signed a resolution shutting down non-essential businesses here in Moscow. These companies, if they continued operating, would be operating illegally now and would be fined with the possibility of imprisonment. Think about that. A lawful business could get fined for operating for making money for their families, their employees, their livelihoods, all the while our mayor was collecting his taxpayer paycheck and going golfing and drinking beer with his buddies at Elk Lodge here just north of town. He signed a petition, he signed this resolution that did not apply to his paycheck. He would not place himself under the same conditions he required others to follow under this resolution. Of course, the issue here is we as a people need to repent. We are oppressed, absolutely. When the black community cries out tears of oppression, when operating a business becomes illegal and you can no longer provide for your family, our call is to God. Don't cry out to the state to save you. They have been doing a crappy job for centuries. Cry out to God. Tell your people to cry out to God. When you see oppression, you cry out to God. Humble yourself before God and He will act. He will lift up His people. This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic News. Support Rowdy Christian Media and join our club at FightLaughFeast.com. With your partnership, you will get a Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt, discounts to our annual conference, and access to our club portal and more. You can find out more about us on our app. You got to download our app in your favorite app store, Fight Laugh Feast. Just type that in your favorite app store. And lastly, again, we hope to see you at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to FightLaughFeast.com to register. Have a great day. God bless.